Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30
with Marto and Margot. Well, your voice is getting better. You probably need to get a bit of rest today just to get it back up to scratch.
Get off the piss, mate. It's killing you.
Big weekend, Margot.
Actually, you had a big Saturday, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it was Friday night that got me though.
Friday night
singing at that. Hey, Geronimo.
Yeah,
hey, Geronimo.
You would have been.
I'm coming home tonight.
Yeah, that's the nice one.
In the valley.
Yeah, then you went out Saturday with your girlfriends and I saw you on that boat. You would have had to be yelling and screaming to get over the noise of the music again.
Well, we did end up at the Caxton, Marto, I'm afraid to say. And I think John Bon Jovi claimed the last remnants of whatever my voice was left at 2 a.m. Okay.
A few of the Broncos on... Is there still a dance floor at the Caxton?
There is certainly a dance floor, Marto, and all your the Colts, what are they called?
University
the
Colts.
Union.
They won the grand final that day.
Yeah, they'd won the grand final, so they were parading around with their shield their trophy, and so we celebrated with them.
I remember one night, my plumber, this is only about 5 years ago too, he's mad, he'd done a job for a doctor who paid him in Viagra pills and they were in his pocket. And he was he's only a little bloke, my plumber, and he was doing handstands while he was drunk at the Caxton.
Would have been nice and stiff in his handstand, wouldn't he?
No, he was doing handstands. No, they came out of his pockets and people realised what they were and they were all grabbing them off the desk. It could have been mayhem that evening.
Low-level dealing,
oh,
I think.
Jesus. Well, can I ask, any of those young Broncos who were there or any of the young uni blokes, did they have a crack at any? Was it grab a granny night with you and your girlfriend?
The uni blokes were at the Caxton. The Broncos were at Friday's. But I got age-shamed, Matt. I was too old.
I know, but any of your girlfriends, did any of the young blokes have a crack? Oh, so sad.
No. One bloke on the boat Cass, she got given a hat as the captain of her party because it was her birthday.
Yeah.
And so there was a bloke on the dance floor that kept pestering her, wanting her hat.
Oh, but not anything else.
Well, I think he was trying to butter her up a little bit by flirting with her.
Wow.
Yeah, to try and get the hat. She said, look, mate, my husband's up there. F off.
Right. Well, strap yourself in because you're going to hear what else happened on Margot's Saturday night. That's coming up soon. It's the catch-up podcast. Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Margot, I know we got COVID fatigue and I know they're looking for the truck driver and truck driver's partner went to the nail clinic
salon.
And Beenleigh Marketplace. You didn't check in with your QR code and I just went, righto, whatever.
Were they shutting down Windaroo or something? Yeah.
Well, I think they've eased off a little bit on that. They're still waiting for a few results. Today,
Logan may go into lockdown.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'll leave that to the important people in the world. But I heard about there's another one, and I went, "What is going?" Have a close listen to all the details of this case. It just goes, "What? What?"
The other is a Qantas pilot from Kingaroy. He travelled to Brisbane to visit his mum before flying to Hong Kong and back to Melbourne where he tested positive. He has a second job driving a truck and was recently in Tamworth in New South Wales.
Plenty to digest
there. I can see that.
A Qantas pilot living at Kingaroy came down to Brisbane, saw his mum, obviously flew a plane load of people over to Hong Kong. I don't know what they're doing there, but then he flew it back to Melbourne, then he came back to Brisbane, then he hopped in his...
truck.
And drove.
Well, there's not very many flights happening at the moment. Maybe he needs a second job to support his family.
All right. Now, but really, if he was, let's say he's carrying cattle, does he buzz through on the intercom? I'm going to have to ask you all to take your seats. There'll be no more bar service.
The exit rows are here.
Or if he starts to go over some gravelly road.
Turbulence.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
It's that time of the week where we say hello to our favourite Queenslander stuck down in Victoria and congratulations on most consecutive days in the world stuck in lockdown.
Well, they've got plenty of titles to their name. Congratulations.
Harley Green.
Hello. Guys, thank you. We've worked so hard for it. Look, the sporting and cultural capital of the country has never looked so great. Anyway, it's been boring down here. There's not been a lot on. Just trying to get out there. You know, we're under stay-at-home orders and there's only a certain amount of time you can get out. And I have three children, so going pretty crazy. But I went for a walk with my dog and my three children the other day because I like a challenge. I've got a 1.5-year-old Kelpie.
Oh, Jesus. I know your pain.
You take the bush out of the boy because you know how it goes. And so I'm walking the dog. The dog's name is Peanut. I named her after a great film, The Peanut Butter Falcon. But that's not
write it down, wow. Everybody.
Because, I'd like to know, Harley, yes. Of the four people that you were walking that day, and well, three people and a dog, yeah. I should say, how many leads were there? Because I've got a few girlfriends that put their kids on leads.
I love them.
Now, I just let them free range and okay, just yeah. hope for the best. You know, perfect. If they all come back, I've had a win.
Harley, can I interrupt just for 1 second? Because I also walk a 3.5-year-old Kelpie.
Okay.
And somehow, I don't see him doing the intake. He's like one, he must be like one of those firefighting planes. They dip into a dam and then he does 20 pisses on the walk, at least yes. 20. Why can't so we Peter. Do that? Why can't we do that? Because sometimes I'll have two beers and go for a walk and I'm busted. Why can't, just start weeing on post?
Mate, it takes me so long to wee at the moment. I've got to sit down and just let it trickle out. I'm getting old.
You should get your prostate checked, Harley.
Yeah, I should, mate, but we're not allowed out of the house. So I'm walking around right with my dog Peanut, which, by the way, my 11-year-old child thinks very funny to call penis. And I'm like, can you just knock it off, please? And there's people around everywhere, and I'm like, look at all these people around. We're meant to be in lockdown. And then the 11-year-old goes, well, we're out.
We're out.
And I just went, put your mouth. Don't talk back to me. Right? We get to the dog park, and the reason I go to the dog park rather than just the regular park area where you are allowed to let your dog off is because my dog will not stop rounding up every other dog. So I need a fenced-in area. Now, in a normal time, I'd go in there and try and help out. But, you know, it's COVID, can't get in there, social distancing. So, honestly, it's just every other dog rounded into a circle and owners looking at me going, you should really train your dog. I'm like, whatever, we're in COVID, just get over it. You should train your dog to be faster than mine. Like, every dog looks so scared except for one golden retriever that's just like, this is the best, what's going on? Why are we in a circle? Anyway, it came to the time where I was like, we better leave, and I called to my dog, right, and I'm calling and calling, and all she's got is eyes for the other dogs, and there's only so many times you can call to your dog as a man and it not listen until you're totally emasculated and you may as well put the collar on yourself and let your dog pick up your shit, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not calling. I thought, I'll round up the dog that's rounding up the dog. So I sent the 11-year-old wide. I went, you go wide, mate. I'll go up the guts.
Come on.
He's gone around wide. The 4-year-old has gone around to the left. He's not going to be much help anyway. The 11-year-old's given it a real loud, come here, penis. I'm like, don't do it here. There's people everywhere. I get up nice and close. The 11-year-old's coming in from behind. Just go on, get around there. And then I just see the 4-year-old walk up to a random stranger. I'm like, what's he doing? You're inside the 1.5 metres. Come on, I'm trying to grab the dog. And then I just hear my little 4-year-old Walter look up at this guy and go, excuse me, can you help us grab my penis? I'm going, well, you're going to need some hand sanitizer before we do that.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Margo, we often get messages onto the burner phone, the text messages, 0484 10 1045, anytime you like. Can I run this one by you? Ryan at Greenslope. Thanks, Rhino. Thanks for sending it through. Sitting around yesterday reminiscing about the old man and Pop and going over a few of their favourite sayings. And that was sort of Father's Day. If you've lost any, because we had a few people texting and going, yeah, I was at the cemetery and this happened and that happened. Pop was a stickler for doors and would always yell out, were you born in a barn?
Yeah.
If you left one open. Dad loved the old electricity doesn't grow on trees. Thought it might make a funny topic. And fair enough too, because Dad's, you caught up with...
We caught up with my dad yesterday. Yeah, and he loves a dad joke. Not so much sayings, but he loves a good dad joke. And so I said to him, Dad, give me your best dad joke.
Oh, that's...
What do you do, bird shits on your bonnet? Don't take her out again.
That's actually really good.
Look, kids had pulled their little Hyundai Elantra that we've got, the old one that they just bash around the backyard, and that was his joke that came out of the kids driving around.
That's magnificent.
Except he said it to my 10-year-old, you know. He's like, I was like, come on, Dad.
Couple of years, maybe.
Yeah. What about when someone's in the toilet too long? Do you reckon they fell in? Like, they're always
good. How'd you fall in?
Or, because I was always the doctor around the house, when you're fixing up a cut or anything, and you always used to say, I think we might have to cut this one off, amputate.
We
might
have to amputate. Get rid of it? Yeah.
That's what we're after. So let's not just go down the road of, can we do jokes and also sayings that your dad
best
or pop
dad
used to say?
Dad's always got something to say, doesn't he?
They make you smile. 133353 or the
birdophone.
What
are your legs painted on?
Oh,
what did your last slave die of?
Just rest in the eyes.
See, that'll make me laugh. 133353, dad or your grandfather, the sayings that used to keep them rocking. We used to have incinerators in the corner of our house there at West Chermside. We grew up in Warndle Terrace. But all four neighbours, you know, the four tenses go there. There were four incinerators, and that's where the dads used to stand down there on a Sunday arvo and just say the most stupid thing. Like, Fred Ekham, can you do mine next? Whenever Noel next door was washing his car, dad would drive, hey, don't do mine next. Or
while you're at it.
Every time it rained, we needed this rain.
Needed that.
They always so say, good. Dad sayings
I always
are
love,
the best.
What is it? Tide out.
Oh, when you don't fill their grass up. Jeez. They're bad. Or the cemetery. I remember my dad drove buses for Boomerang Tours. Trucks during the week, then buses on weekends to make some extra money. And I used to sit behind him, just driving people, tourists around Brisbane and stuff. Cemetery, he used to always go, yeah, he'd get on the microphone. Yeah, and people are dying to get in there. And then car wrecking yards. There's the women's car park at Brisbane. And that would be my old man. That's so good.
Yeah, and thank you to Ryan from Greenslope for bringing this to our attention. Were you born in a barn?
That's right.
The one that Corey says is, what, were you born in a tent? No doors. They just leave the doors open, don't they, kids?
So
Danny from Clontarf. 133353. Have you got a dad saying? What did your dad used to say?
Yeah, when I was a kid, you'd be at home going, oh, I can't find me football, can't find me shoes, whatever. And my dad just used to say, lucky your balls are in a bag.
That's great. I've never heard that one. Otherwise, you miss
place. It's a good old London saying.
Yeah, nice, Danny. Thanks, mate. Thanks for participating.
Fiona from Jimboomba. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good. Was it something that your dad used to say?
Yeah, I don't care who started it. I'm going to finish it.
Isn't that great? Oh, thank you, Fiona. What about Chris, Redland Bay? What is it?
Mate, well, you guys have already said it was, leaving the door open. We were born in a tent. I've got a dad joke that's a bit more PG than Margot's dad's. It's who can drink 20 litres of petrol and not get sick?
Who?
Jerry can.
Oh, that's great. Geez. Thank you, Chris. Low point, but well worth it. Thanks, mate.
Hold on, we got
John from Yoronga, my dad's favourite saying, which he inherited from my grandpa. That's what happens. They get passed down. Assumptions are the mother of all F-ups. Yeah. I used to have, when I was an apprentice, the boss used to say, Jesus, if you assume anything, because you'd go as an apprentice, you go, oh, I thought, no, if you assume anything, you made an ass out of you and me. God, they're boring.
What about my dad? Always loved the better than a poke in the eye with a hot stick or with a cold woman on a hot night or something or other. I still don't get it.
Who goes around poking people in the eye with a hot stick?
Not sure.
In the old days, apparently they did it.
Sean from Griffin, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Yeah, good. Is it you, Sean? I reckon you'd have a few dad sayings up your sleeve.
Oh, no, when we used to do the dishes when we were young fellas and my brother couldn't get something off a plate, my dad used to say to me, we'll put a bit of elbow grease into it.
Yeah, and you know what that means, don't you, Sean? Yes, of course you do. It means rub it harder, you stupid fool.
That's right.
Hey, Jay from Redbank Plays, we've got to get to the traffic, but when your old man, you say, I'll give you something to cry about.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Let's get slightly serious here, Margot. Texas, a state of the USA.
Dallas, Texas.
Dallas and Houston, Texas and all the rest of it. 29 million people. Well, that was before COVID, and it's very serious over there. A lot of people lost their lives. So they've been doing a lot of thinking, and they've come up with this great idea.
Gun laws in Texas are changing.
There's always bad, good, bad and ugly.
Okay, and you're thinking, Christ, they're going to take guns off the Americans. This all won't go down very well.
The new laws allow permitless carry. If you own a gun, you no longer need a license to carry it openly in public. Texas isn't the first state to introduce the law, but it is by far the biggest.
Well done, Texas. Yeah, great work here. So therefore, anybody
can have
a gun. Anyone. So
do you still need a license to purchase a gun? You just don't need the permit I don't know.
You don't seem to need anything as far as I can tell.
Republican Governor Greg Abbott signed the bill alongside the head of the National Rifle Association.
And it's an increasingly dangerous world. People want to be able to protect themselves.
See, that's what it's all about.
Isn't it increasingly dangerous because people are carrying guns that shouldn't be carrying guns?
I don't know what sort of logic you're employing, but that's not according to them.
Butch says it'll make life hard for police, but overall he believes crime will fall. He likes the example of a bank robber.
If there's five guys in there with a gun on showing, are you going to rob it? Probably not.
See? That's what's so good about... This is why America is great.
I doubt anybody that ever says middle America is so backwards. I mean, like, Jesus, come on.
How dare you? If you're a bank robber, you're going, geez, I'm not today, not anywhere in Texas. You just go to the next state where they've got tougher laws, they've got looser laws. Now, how are things going?
The current shooting test is comprehensive. You need to fire 50 rounds at this guy, judged on accuracy and on safety. There's also a written exam and your fingerprints are kept on file. All of that is about to be scrapped.
Yeah, you don't need to do that anymore.
No, you can just fire willy-nilly.
If you've got more than two fingers, it appears that you can get a gun now. That's all you need, all you need. One more.
The NRA says more guns will save lives.
Only in America.
They just wanted to be able to shoot air bullets like the Taliban, didn't they?
No, but unfortunately that's not what Americans do. They are insane.
I love the morning.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Triple M.
Oh, Marto, last week you very shamelessly linked our Queensland Premier, Anastasia Palaszczuk, to the chairman of the NRL, Peter Valandis. Yes, thank you, Peter. And she wasn't impressed, Marto, I must say. Well, so much so that she felt she needed to come out, and she did an interview in Saturday's Courier Mail saying, he just makes me so happy.
Who does?
Palaszczuk has revealed her new relationship.
So it's true. It's Valandis and Palaszczuk. I was taking the mickey. Was that true?
The gorgeous man who stole the Premier's heart.
Peter Valandis?
No, not Peter Valandis. Brisbane surgeon Reza Adib. Dr. Reza is a resident very familiar with Caxton Street, Marto, just down the road here from us. He's good friends of the Gambaros family and has been in attendance of many of their events
over
the years.
So she's got a boyfriend?
She's got herself a boyfriend. She met...
If the sex tape ever gets sent to you, don't forward it to me, okay? I don't want it.
I can say the same to you, Marto.
Well, there's the music from it now.
The Premier said that Dr. Adib, who is a laparoscopic gastrointestinal and obesity surgeon at the Wesley Hospital...
Whoa, stop right there. He's a what? He does lap bands.
Yeah, he's a weight loss surgeon.
Where did they meet?
They met at the races.
What, the disabled toilets where most people meet at the races, from what I gather?
She simply said, he makes me very happy. He's a gorgeous man, revealing that she met him, the highly respected specialist. So I'll have no more of that nonsense, Marto. Right. They met at the Eagle Farm races in June this year through a mutual friend.
Oh, this is relatively new.
He is very warm and caring, intelligent, with a great sense of humour, and we are just enjoying getting to know each other.
Wow, they're both very busy people.
Yeah, well, she said that. She said when she spoke with Q Weekend back earlier in the year, she was looking for somebody, you know, who lived their own life and was busy, because she is very busy.
Very busy. Like every day at 10 o'clock, she's got to tell us how to behave ourselves.
Yes, she
said. Like, emperor is a full-time job, being an emperor.
She said, we make time when we can see each other. It's not easy, but when we do see each other, we like to go out to dinner and go on long walks.
Lap bands.
Go on long walks. So, she said, it's been nice for...
long walks?
It's been nice for her because she said it makes her take a break from her work every now and then.
Does her 30-strong team of spin doctors, do they go on the long walks together to make sure everything's...
She said that she was inspired by Gladys Berejiklian when her love affair with Daryl Maguire...
Did she have a lap band as well?
No. Oh. When Daryl Maguire's... love affair was exposed.
What?
She said that what happened to Gladys is for me a reminder that if you do meet someone, you've got to be prepared for it to go public.
Yes.
And in this case, talking about her new partnership will make people understand that they are two serious people with serious professions, but also just a normal couple like anyone else enjoying time together. And we hope, Marto, people like you, I assume that she was referring to.
Well, I get invited to the wedding.
Can respect that and respect our private life during this time.
Hold on. Is she saying she wants her private life to be respected despite having an article in the Courier Mail on Saturday. Okay, that'll do me.
So rude. Yeah. We wish you all the best, Dad.
This is true.
Do we? Emperor's got to get sex somewhere.
Oh, the Premier's in love, Marta.
It's great news. So happy for him.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
It's Marto and a gravelly-voiced Margot.
Yeah, well, I had a relatively big weekend, Marto. It took me back to being, young again. Yeah. Went out Friday night, took my daughter Memphis to the Tivoli, and we went and saw Shepherd in concert. It was a fabulous night, even if you don't know their music or you don't like it. It just was really fun. Everyone was dancing and singing and having a great time. Live music was back.
I love their music.
The Tivoli, an incredible venue.
Great play.
It was a great night. We started that off. Then Saturday morning we had soccer, so I was yelling and cheering, go team, go. And then Saturday I stepped foot across the floating vessel of the Brisbane River, the Yacht Club, which is that big trimaran.
That's extraordinary. I saw it on the river the other day. That's the biggest.
It's like a floating pontoon, isn't it?
It's the biggest thing on the river. It's incredible. It's just a party boat.
It's a party boat, right? And it was my girlfriend's birthday. Happy birthday, Cass. We were celebrating on there with a small group of friends, and from there we then stopped off into Mr. Percival's at Howard Smith Wharves for a few drinks.
Tell everyone, underneath the Story Bridge
underneath
on the
Northern
Story
End. Bridge at the Howard Smith Wharves there, just looking out on the Brisbane River. It's incredible.
Good arvo.
Bit of dinner, then we went back to Mr. Percival's for some more drinks.
Well, how long have you been going by this stage?
Well,
we started
at midday,
right,
and it's about 8 o'clock at night. We left Howard Smith Wharves and we headed for Fridays, Marto, because where do you go on a Saturday night? You go to Fridays.
Can I tell you, that's been going since 1986, I think, Fridays.
Well, I mean, I spent an entire
Me too.
10 years of my youth there.
I spent my youth going there. That's extraordinary.
It was incredible.
Was it still all right?
But the tides have turned, Marto, because influx of 18, 19, 20-year-olds.
They're still going there?
Stamping their ground, making their mark.
The youngsters are still there.
The youngsters are still there.
That's
I felt
great.
So old, Marto, because first thing I did was, it was almost like habit. It was deja vu. I walked up those stairs straight out to the back bar to surpass the lineup of the main bar.
Yeah.
There's another bar area out the back. So I thought, haha, I've got you all covered. I'll go out the back because I know that that's where no one really goes.
Still there.
So I get out there and there's a group of people. And you know, as one set of people leave the bar, you kind of slide on in and then everyone goes, how did she get there?
Yeah.
So I did that, Marto, old trick, slid on in and this bloke next to me goes, oi, 40, move out the way.
40 what? Is he calling you 40 years old?
I was like, are you age shaming me? I'm 36, thank you very much. And he goes, oh, righto, mum. And I was like,
oh no.
And then I got served before him and I'm like, see, ha, experience comes in handy when you need it. You're like, shit.
No, four kids later and you got him covered. Well done.
I walked away with my four Red Bulls in my hand and off I went trying to retain the youth.
I wish you bought a cup of tea.
I wish I did too now, Marto. But it was a great night. We had a good time there. And we ended up partying with some of the Broncos boys. And it took me right back.
Oh, they'd wrapped up their season.
They had just wrapped up their season with a win, said farewell to Alex Glenn, and off they went to Fridays. And they were kitted out, the boys. They looked very suave. And it was fun to watch because I kind of went back 17 years of when Corey was a young Bronco playing and I was the girlfriend, and just watching the girls walk back and forth past the group of boys until someone finally recognised them, and then they go, oh, hello, sorry, didn't see you there.
Oh, Jesus.
It was quite fun. But there was quite a few of them there. There was Jermaine Asako was there, hadn't seen him for a little while, Jordan Ricky, Jesse Arthurs, a lot of the young boys, Xavier Coates, Herbie Farnworth was there, your mate. I know you love
Herbie Farnworth. He doesn't pass the ball. He passed the ball once on the weekend. They scored a try. Can somebody get that into his head that you can pass occasionally?
Corey speaks really highly of him. Young boy from England.
Good on him.
Big dreams and aspirations to play for the Broncos. Kobe Hetherington.
If the girls are keen on them, you imagine how keen they'd be on the Titans. They came eighth.
I know. I was like, so much attention for a team that came third on the ladder. But anyway, Mad Monday celebrations were being kicked off.
What? Was Alex Glenn there?
No, Alex Glenn wasn't there. I'm assuming most of the
old with children
went home.
Yeah, it's
and
like
then I turned around
where you should have been.
I turned around and looked at my old retired man and went, it's midnight, we're at Fridays. We need to go home.
Triple M's Mad Monday.
Not enough news for an hour long bulletin.
Okay, this relates to the news. It went for half an hour to an hour, and you know I make off and make the claim there's not enough.
Well, they have those little fluff pieces, and it's like, why did I need to know that?
Exactly.
Why do we care?
Well, that's what I started to think last night when I heard and watched this story on Channel 9.
A split-second decision could have ended in tragedy at this station in India. A woman and a child getting off a moving train and losing balance. The mother and son are swept down between the train and the platform.
Horrible.
Incredibly, they dodged the wheels and escaped with only minor injuries.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know, it was terrible.
Terribly tragic. How awful. I'm glad
and it was
that they're
fine
okay.
And they plucked them to safety and I went, my God. And then I thought, no, I'm living in Brisbane. Do I need to know about that? But then they went, this is back to back, okay? This is around that. Normally they squeeze in the lettuce into the taco, these unnecessary stories. They squeeze them in around 6:30 when I'm barely paying any attention or I'm not there. Straight after, okay? So Indian story.
One into the other.
That was an Indian train story into this story.
A delicate rescue mission's been undertaken in India after a bull found itself stuck on the second floor of an office building. The 200-kilogram beast wound up in a sticky spot after taking shelter from the rain in Rajasthan.
Fair income. There was a bull on the veranda.
Oh, I'm sure there's many Indians living here in Brisbane that needed to know about the news back home.
Well, but we're not the Calcutta Channel 9, but back-to-back, and it just made me think, how much fun is it over there in India? Like, their news is so... If we're grabbing segments of their news and bringing it home, every night they've just got crazy fools doing stuff all over the joint. A bull on the set. How did he get up there?
I don't know.
Well, do you know, bulls can walk
maybe
upstairs.
Maybe if I had watched the news story, I would have known.
Do you know bulls and horses can't walk downstairs?
I can't go downstairs.
They can go upstairs. So just be very careful, everyone. Very careful.
Don't let your bull go upstairs. No, leave your gate closed.
Leave your cow downstairs.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
A lot of footy teams finishing up on the weekend. Broncos gone, Lions gone, club rugby gone, little kids playing footy gone. And then I received this, Margo. Listen to this. Have your kids finished?
Yeah, Wiley and Jagger finished up for Karina on the weekend, both with a win, so that was nice.
Back, back on your line. Okay, don't let him through.
All right, Brisbane, you're safe again.
That wasn't me on Sunday.
You're safe again, Brisbane.
I sounded like this yesterday.
Hey, so they both finished as well. Did they have their trophy days and stuff?
Their trophy presentation day will be next month at the club, and they have rides and a great day, and they get their jerseys.
All right. This is good. That's why I'll bring this up. Sean from Sunnybank, Texas.
Ricky Stewart? How many texts did you get?
I got 47 texts. Here's Sean. I was always of the belief that only the best kids in a sporting team should receive a trophy at the end of the year.
I'm with you, Sean, from Sunnybank.
I was until I read this text. All right?
Okay, go on.
That was before my 5-year-old daughter received a participation medal on Saturday for her first season of netball. Watching her wear it with pride all weekend brought a tear to my eye. Aww. Long may the participation medal continue. Well, I'm not with that bit, Sean. I'm going to change my whole tune about this. I used to think, no, don't give, and we used to do it sometimes down at Jeeps Junior Rugby, don't give bloody kids all a trophy. I now think, can I run this one by you? Their first year, every kid needs to get a trophy or a medal around their neck on a lanyard or whatever. And then after that, it's open slather, okay? So you actually go, look, this is what you win by getting stuck into sport, and then after that, teach them disappointment.
I hate that every kid gets a man of the match throughout the year. Like,
Rostered on man of the match.
Rostered on man. They're like, oh, who hasn't had it yet? Or we'll give it to so-and-so this week. I just don't, because there are some kids out there who are busting their asses to play week in, week out, not being recognised for it. And then there's kids who are doing a half-ass job that are getting a certificate, and it's building them up thinking that they're good, but they're not.
Well, but you build them up a little bit, then they get encouraged. Like this girl here, the Sean's daughter, she's probably not much good. I don't know. Okay. But she got the medal and he's saying, you know, it brought a tear to his eye, which was great, but she hasn't taken the medal off or whatever it is,
which is cute. And it may be her last medal she ever gets. I don't know what her ability is.
No, but the thing is, that's okay, because she'll always remember, in her mind, she'll be 27, married with 2 kids, okay? And she'll look back and go, I'll never forget, I love
netball.
I love netball. I had a little bit of disappointment for the next 6 years, never won another thing. But
it builds a false sense of security.
It builds Disappointment's
life,
good.
Life is going to always give you disappointment. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you continue giving them medals and man of the matches when they don't deserve it, how are they ever going to be disappointed?
I don't want fake medals after this one. I just want this little girl, Sean's daughter, just to have that one and then get used to a bit of disappointment. But at some stage, she had a highlight
in
netball.
But it's like when, Marto, you see people on The Voice and that, right? And their mum and their dad and their sister and brother have told them forever long how
the
great
best.
They are at singing and you're so good. And then they go on The Voice and they get shamed publicly in front of everybody.
Yeah.
If only that parent had said to that girl,
"You're rubbish.
You're rubbish. Give it up. Let's put your focus into something else that you're actually really good at." She wouldn't have wasted all that time sitting in her bedroom singing songs.
She would have had a go at netball, that kitty on The Voice. That kitty on The Voice would have played some sort of sport.
You always say to me, because my kids are relatively competitive.
Get used to disappointment.
Jagger brought home a participation ribbon. I said, doesn't count, mate. It doesn't have a colour on it. It's not red. It's not blue. It's not green. Doesn't count, right?
Yep.
Wiley wins everything at school.
Yeah.
Goes off to the athletics meet last week
and
he competes
out.
Against kids a little bit older than him and he got disappointed because he lost.
But
he didn't win.
But he got the medals already.
And
that's
what
this
really
little
hard.
Kitty without a netball, she got the medals and then she got disappointed and then she'll work harder and that's what your bloke
will
do.
Yeah, but he came home with no participation ribbon, no medal to say, hey, thanks for competing.
Yeah.
You know, the next meet, he'll come home with a ribbon or a medal.
That's right. But he's already got, from his school, he got the participation.
No,
he got the
winner's
stuff.
He got number one. Because he's the best within his school, but then he's got to now go and compete against other kids.
Can we open it up to everybody?
Can of worms to me.
All right. We don't want everybody all the time to get participation. That's ridiculous. But you have to at least win once. Your first season of competition, should you get a medal regardless, and then it's free for all after that. Does that sound all right to you?
Yeah, but then it's not fair to the kids that actually did play really hard.
Second
and did
year,
play really well.
If you're any good, you'll kick on. If you're no good, we'll start to dispose of you.
I'm going to get hated for this, but I'm standing by it. Building resilience in kids.
1-3-3-5-3.
I used to be like that until I read this story.
I think that says more about the parent than
Scrooge
the child.
Scrooge Parker, we've got Circus Rio Carnival tickets. Are you okay if we were to give those to someone or you want to hang
Tell
with
us
those
what's happening out
only
there.
Only if they really deserve it.
What's happening in the real world and in your opinion? Brad from Springfield. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right. What do you reckon? Should you get something the first year?
Absolutely. Every year. I've been a coach in Logan Rugby League for 25 years, in two clubs. I disagree totally with Margo, I'm afraid.
Why do you think every player should be awarded a prize, Brad?
It's called encouragement. It's called support. We're losing kids every single year in junior rugby league, and it's hard enough to keep them, let alone not giving them anything. And as far as they should get a trophy at presentation, absolutely. And as far as the man of the match, yes, that should be shared around because that's also encouragement and also supports them and tells them that they are cared about and want to come back and play the game in the next season for the same club.
Brad.
But isn't that our job to do that with words? You know, you did a great job. That was a good run. Well done. You know, why does it have to be in a ribbon or a trophy?
It's a simple McDonald's award. You know, it doesn't even have to be a trophy or a ribbon. You can just give that kid that encouragement to say, look, mate, you missed five tackles, but you did two. Let's give him that man of the match. Say, just give him a bit of credit. It builds confidence, and rugby league kids need confidence.
Oh, all sports, all kids need some confidence. Yeah, we keep on saying not tough enough, not resilient enough, but they need some confidence. Brad, can I maybe bring up just a slightly separate point?
Absolutely.
If they're going to make trophies, can they make them more resilient? Because kids get grease on their hands. They win the trophy. Didn't your kids drop a trophy?
Wiley dropped his trophy.
And what
Absolutely.
Happened? The head fell off.
The head fell
exactly.
off.
Exactly. We've got to stop making them in China, get a local trophy manufacturer.
Can I say, though, as a parent who also gets gushed with pride when my kids compete in anything,
That's
whether they're
do.
Good or indifferent.
Yeah.
But River, our little 5-year-old preppy, had her first sports carnival and she won. And that's great. But they don't award first, second or third at that age group because, again, they try and encourage everybody to be a participant.
Oh, good one.
But
yeah.
She went away and she made her own medal. She cut out a little circle and she drew on it her name. And there was almost more of a sense of pride in that. It wasn't about first, second or third. It was just she competed and she had a great time. I'm not saying that kids shouldn't be, you know, encouraged and motivated and all those things, but I just feel like we're just raising kids that are, you know, entitled.
Do you think Anthony Milford should be doing that, getting a most improved 2021s at the Broncos? Because he had a good finish to the season, the little kitty.
Patria from North Lakes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good. Tell us, where do you think, do your kids getting too many recognition and participation awards, or do you think that's a good thing?
Look, I agree with the
you know, best and fairest player. I do, 100%. I think it's a crock. I think kids need to deal with the reality of a lot of things. But I'm so totally for the trophy or the medallion or the whatever it is at the end of the season. You know, I've got a 13-year-old that has trained hard all year, twice a week, busts his ass to get to training.
Yeah.
He plays with minimal players in his team. He plays fatigued. Him and his mates, you know, they play with not enough players. They play injured. They play fatigued. And they put on their jersey every single weekend to get their asses flogged.
Yeah.
And yes, for that club, they have club pride. And they will do it again next year, as they have done for the last few years.
I've got goosies.
And they keep doing it. So you're, you know,
the best.
What?
Yeah.
They do deserve that trophy from that club. From that club should recognise that these kids come twice a week to training to bust their ass. I'm all in for 5- and 6-year-olds. They go along and play. But we're talking older kids. They deserve that recognition. That's the commitment that these kids put in to play their sport, to go to training and play their games at whatever cost.
She's
and
old.
That's what
can
they
you
get
be my mother?
For.
I love you. Can you give her that prize?
Oh, you bet. You're taking the kids to Circus Rio Carnival Caboolture.
You're
right?
Amazing. Okay. Where do they play? Which team?
They play for the Caboolture Snakes.
The Caboolture Snakes, they've got a great little Colts team. What? Wow. Oh, anyway, the Caboolture Snakes are a wonderful bunch. Can you say hello to them all up there? I love the Snakes.
Oh, good on you, Petrea.
That was powerful. What about Sean from Sunnybank on the burner phone? Follow up to the participation medal. My little girl asked me on Sunday morning how she gets more medals, right? This is the same bloke who sent the original one. I told her if she finishes first at a school sports carnival next week, she'll get more medals. She'll be going, yeah, that's what encourages her. She wants more of that stuff. This is how people like Bruce Jenner got their first run, their first decathlon. 90% of callers say participation awards are a good thing for junior athletes.
Mm. Right. Well, thanks for all your calls this morning. Thanks for being part
Happy
of
being in the minority.
Can of worms.
Triple M.
See you at the Olympics.
The Big Breakfast. Weekdays when you wake up on 104.5 Brisbane's Triple M.
Margo, it's important that we learn things from history, otherwise we never advance as a civilization and humans. There I was yesterday. I was waiting with my wife to see my son, as I told you, at the border wall.
Yeah.
Okay, there was a guy about 3 metres long. There were people everywhere. There were hundreds of people.
Hundreds of them. I saw it.
I reckon there was a couple may have been having sex underneath a blanket while poised on top of the wall about 20 metres up. No need to. There was a table that was, did I tell you this earlier? There was a table that was purchased, obviously, on our marketplace. It got passed across. There was incredible scenes. There was weeping, and that was only my wife. There was other people. All right, so there was a guy about 4 or 5 metres up, and he was waiting. We were looking towards New South Wales, waiting for our son to pull up. He was looking towards Queensland, find out, waiting for his girlfriend. He would have been in his 30s or so.
Yep.
And I said to him, just making historical jokes, I said, it's like the Berlin Wall. And he, thankfully, knew hilarious. What the Berlin Wall was.
Good.
Yes, a lot of people don't know the Berlin Wall. Yep. Constructed in 1961 to cut a city in half to stop, well, they said to stop people from the West, we were the democratically elected people, getting across into
East-West
the socialists.
Yeah.
It was actually to stop the people in East Berlin who were under the control of the Soviets running away. Okay, so he went, oh, yeah, mate, yeah, I think it was a bit higher. I said, yeah, I know that, but it was just a joke. He said, Stockholm Syndrome. That's what we've all got.
Oh.
Tell us about it.
Do you know what the Stockholm Syndrome's
vaguely.
About? It happened in 1973 in Stockholm. That's why they called it the Stockholm Syndrome. There was a bank robbery, okay? And the bank robber, he came in and the cops shut it down from outside straight away. So he grabbed 4 hostages. It was went live on Swedish TV, first ever criminal event in the world to go live on TV.
Wow.
It went for 5 days because they kept sending in food. Come on, let us have a hostage. No, I'll shoot everybody unless you give me this, unless you give me that. Went for 5 days. They even took, because he was out of jail, they even sent in his old, he said, I want to see me mate, my old
cellmate
from prison. So they released him from prison, drove him to the bank, let him get inside. And he said, oh, mate, there's a bit of trouble out here. You know, you're on TV. It's like Big Brother. He went, oh, am I? Famous. Righto. So it kept on going.
Oh, geez.
Went for 5 days when finally they shut the whole operation down. But what happened next? They then sent him back to jail, said, righto, that's enough for you. I think they let the other, his cellmate, go because they said, well done, you helped us out.
Helped
here.
Us.
Didn't have to shoot. No one got killed. No one got anything. But for 5 days, he held them captive in there. some of the girls out of the four fell in love with him because he was so nice to them. He was he gave them the food. Wow. He said, "There you go. I'm not going to shoot. I might shoot you, but he didn't." So they all fell in love with him. And then when he got out, he had so many marriage requests from people from outside of prison. They all loved him because he was so. And I went to the guy. I said, "I know what you're talking about. This is why Western Australians are loving Mark McGowan. We're all loving Anastasia Palaszczuk. Well, the idiots are all loving these people. Did you see what happened in Western Australia yesterday?"
No, what happened?
There were people sent Happy Father's Day cards to Mark McGowan, the Western Australian Premier. Thanks for looking after. Thanks for keeping
us.
This is what happens if you get caught, if you get captive. But we're all hostages in this situation, our government, okay?
Oh,
let's not kid ourselves. We're in the middle of Stockholm Syndrome. If you love Anastasia, this is where you're at. If you're sending a Father's Day card to a premier to thank him, this is where we're going. So everyone just shake their head a little bit and realise where you are. It's just a public health warning. That's all this is.
Like Twin Town Syndrome, something like that.
Twin Town, the border syndrome, I don't care, but we are all being held captive. Remember that. Let's free ourselves from the shackles.
It's the Big Breakfast, Marto and Margo, Triple M.
Anything you missed from today's Big Breakfast is in the Catch Up podcast on the Listener app. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Right now, get half price big brand vitamins and cosmetics at Chemist Warehouse. T's and C's apply.